Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. As many of you likely know, we have an email class coming up with Sherry beginning February 8th. And because it's a different kind of an email class from ones that we've done in the past and really quite an extraordinary opportunity, we wanted to dedicate a Good News Update to giving you a little more information about the class and to highlighting the opportunity that there is in the class. And so I thought I'd begin by reading the beginning of the description of the class that's on the website, because I think it really beautifully illustrates the opportunity that we have with this class. Picture this. You're walking a path through the forest. A wise sage whom you cannot see whispers in your ear, never giving specific directions, only the clues you need to find your way. Unraveling the clues through insight and intuition, you learn a new way of seeing, a different way of training to drop what stands in the way of following the path. So this class is an opportunity to really to train in how to train. So what I've seen in my own practice is that seeking and following guidance are really two very foundational aspects of Zen training, because of course Zen is a practice of direct experience. So we don't study texts, we don't gain an intellectual understanding. Instead, we live our lives exactly as they are, no changes needed. And it's in that very living of our lives that the everyday content of whatever that may be for each of us, that we begin to see the processes of suffering. So we notice what trips us up, how we get bamboozled, and we see how we can exit that, how we can get out of that conversation with conditioned mind and step into a process of freedom. And we all know that, right? So as I say that, I'm sure, right, we're all nodding our heads, just live the content of our lives exactly as they are. Nothing needs to change. Watch how suffering is created and just choose the opposite. You know, great, I got this, right? But what we know, of course, if we've practiced for any length of time, is that it's not that easy. And that, of course, those voices that we're so habitually in conversation with have a huge investment in our staying in that conversation. And so as we wake up, as we see more clearly, they're forced to mutate, to take a more subtle form of bamboozle, to really to disguise themselves. And it's for this reason that I've seen in my practice that guidance is such a tremendous gift. So, you know, there are areas of practice where I have a sense that there's something else to see, you know, something more to explore, and that as far as I can tell, I've gone as far as I can go with that particular issue. Okay, so what's next? And that's where guidance comes in. And the beautiful thing about guidance, exactly as was pointed at in that little intro that I read, is that we're not given an answer. You know, we're not told what to do. So if we go back to that metaphor of the forest, you know, it's not a take a 10 steps, get to the oak tree, take a right, and then two more steps. And it can't be, of course, because, you know, we're often told that the Buddha's last words were, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. So neither Sherry nor anyone else can do it for us, but we can be pointed in a direction, you know, offered the next place to look by someone who has traveled the path before us. So if we're back in the forest, you know, so we're describing, here's what I'm seeing around me, and there's this, you know, and I'm seeing that tree, and someone who knows those woods inside and out from their own experience can offer us places to look, can offer us maybe a wider view than we're able to have in any given moment. And it's such a gift. And one of the things that I'm so excited about with this opportunity is that not only will we be able to seek guidance on a particular area of practice, you know, whatever we're choosing, we also get to be trained in the process of guidance. And I think one of the biggest bamboozles I know for myself, and I've heard other folks talk about it too, is that, so there's something confounding us, right? You know, maybe I choose to look at a process of whatever it may be, say procrastination. And I set off to start to really look at that. And if we're sincere in our desire to transcend it, you know, within a relatively short period of time, we really start to see how conditioning is calling the shots, you know, what it's doing to cause suffering, and that begins to unravel. And a really effective tactic on conditioning's part at that point is to jump tracks, right? So, okay, yeah, sure, you know, my relationship seems to really be working. Great, okay. But, you know, work, gosh, things are a mess at work. And so before we get to really close in on seeing the core of a process, conditioning has us jump to another content. Now, of course, the good news about that is that whatever was causing the suffering in the relationship, whatever that process was, is going to show up in work, absolutely. So eventually we get down to it. But having us jump from thing to thing to thing to look at in practice is a great way for conditioning to delay us and to kind of confuse us, to divert our energies for a time. And what's so perfect with this email class is that conditioning will really be boxed in. So the format of it is that in the beginning of the class, we each get to pick an issue that we want to look at. Again, whether it's, you know, a particular area of our life, parenting or work, or maybe it's a process we're seeing, a process of depression or overwhelm or whatever it may be, each of us gets to choose what we want to look at. And, of course, hopefully not missing the opportunity to see our entire lives in that process of choosing what we want to look at. You know, there'll be so much to see there. But then we stick to it. So we'll write in as the class begins, you know, to Sherry what it is that we want to look at for the class. And over the course of 6 weeks, we get to have 10 exchanges with Sherry on that topic. So we lay out the topic. We tell Sherry what we're saying about it. She'll respond with the next place to look. We get to sit with that for several days. Then we look to see, and we respond back. Okay, here's the part of the forest that I'm in now. Sherry reads that, writes back to us with the next places to look, and so on for over the course of 6 weeks and 10 exchanges. It's really pretty extraordinary. So again, not only are we getting guidance on the particular issue, but we're learning that process of inquiry. We're learning the how of looking. And that's something that's going to serve us immensely throughout our practice, right? Again, because we all know we can't do this alone. We can't just set off on our own to, you know, so the one side of the duality would be, just tell me, okay, how do I get through the forest? You know, the 10 steps, then take a left at the tree, then 3 more steps, then take, right? So that's one side of the duality. I want the answer. And the other side of the duality is that sense of, oh, I know, you know, I can do this. Okay, yeah, I understand practice. Now I can, you know, kind of take it from here. And both of those sides of the duality, of course, are so dangerous because there's so much room for conditioning to be in charge of our practice. And so this process of guidance is that beautiful middle way that the Buddha talked about, of each of us working out our own salvation diligently with the assistance of guidance of Sangha. And so we get to do that over the course of this six weeks in the class. And of course, in addition to that, we get to be privy to the guidance process of countless other Sangha. So all of the guidance exchanges of each person will be posted anonymously. So in the same way that email classes always post all of the responses that Sherry gives to each participant anonymously, they'll be posted for this class. So for me, you know, I know that's going to be one of the great gifts of doing it with Sangha, because you know that every issue each person chooses, that we're each going to be able to relate to that on some level. And so the generosity of each person doing that deep practice of training, of looking, of receiving their guidance and working with it, and then writing back in, and then each of us getting to read all of those exchanges, undoubtedly will be a great service to each of us in our practice. So I'm really quite excited about the opportunity, and I know that probably Michael, in his announcements, will give us more information about the particular sign-up and how to, what the deadlines are and that sort of thing. But I do know that there are limited spaces because of the increased time commitment on Sherry's part, and so I just encourage anyone who's interested in the opportunity, who sees that they think this would really be a boost to their practice, especially at the beginning of the year. What a really powerful way to begin the year of this year of practice, to go ahead and sign up. And so as I leave you with that, just a reminder that we'll soon be landing in Zambia in the next, actually, 24 hours from now. And so we'll be posting blogs, hopefully shortly, if all things go well. And so to join us in that process. And so thank you very much. And Michael, with that, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Great, great. How are you?
Good. You know, that was the coolest thing. And
yeah.
So Jen is in the air over the ocean, right, on her way to Zambia, and she recorded that right before she left. So it's as if she's here, but we really know she's there. So that was just really fun. We've never done anything quite like that, and that was really superb. So we thank her, even though she won't know we're thanking her for a long time. But we thank her for that very articulate exploration and explanation of what the class is going to be.
Yes. Yes, yeah. And it seemed the sound quality was pretty good also.
It was beautiful. Better than when she's here. it was great because she's not out at the end of a dirt road, with a sketchy signal in the wintertime. So it was good.
Yes. Wonderful.
Yeah.
I have some announcements here unless you would like to.
Just as she predicted.
Say that again? Yes.
Just as she predicted, you have some announcements.
Yes, exactly. There are only a couple of days left to sign up for the year-long retreat. Anjali, emptying your teacup for a compassionate exploration of letting go who we think we are so we can be what we authentically are, which is true nature.
Mm-hmm.
And participants may pay in installments. So don't let anything stop you from this joyful and liberating journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the year begins with an at-home calendaring workshop, which is this Saturday, January 30th, based on the principles of compassionate scheduling that will allow us to keep ourselves open to what life calls us to do.
Yes.
And anyone who is not in the year-long retreat may still sign up for this workshop a la carte.
Yes. Everyone in the year-long retreat is automatically in.
Great. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
makes it so easy, right? It's like, you know, you want to go out to dinner and you find out that your dinner has already been paid for. This is a really good thing, right? So I want to do this thing.
It's
already paid for. Wow.
Great.
How fun is that?
That's great. Mm-hmm. And as Jen just told us about, an exciting and unusual email class using the Socratic method form of inquiry and discussion starts on February 9th. And I just looked up the registration deadline, and the deadline is February 6th to sign up for that.
Okay. All right.
And as Jen mentioned, participants will have 10 interactions with you, Sherry, in which you will offer guidance on a focus that the participant chooses.
Yes. I'm thrilled about it. Go ahead.
Yep, just space is limited, so register soon.
Yeah, I love the emphasis that Jen put, not just for this class, but in general, on the spirit of inquiry that is just essential. It's essential to life, but sadly, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate beats it out of most people. And my current rant about the lack of curiosity that people have by the time we've gone through a whole process of social conditioning. You know, that all kids are taught to be concerned about is getting enough right answers to get a good grade. Learning, who cares? And so to develop that spirit of inquiry, instead of I hear a voice in my head say something and I just assume that that's true and real and that's how I feel and that's what I think, to have the attitude of, really? Now, what about that? And now we're looking. Now we're seeing other possibilities, and now we're on our way to being able to see what is actually so. So I'm excited about it.
Yes, yes. And what I saw as you were saying that is that the gift that practice has given me along with that inquiry is the ability to be coached and guided.
Yes.
Which is just ever so helpful, I've noticed.
Yes, yes it is. Yes, it is. It's everything, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
And the other essential ingredient, Michael, which is the humility that goes with that, right?
Yes.
So I know it's like the key says, if the answers that I'm seeking were where I've been looking, I would have already found them, right? So I know that there is something, there's a piece that I'm missing. So what is it?
Yes.
And of course, the voice of the ego steps in there with the, well, you ought to know, or you already do, or whatever it is. And to get that place of saying, you know, I need some assistance here. And so I'm willing to listen to anybody. I'm willing to ask people on the street for advice, because maybe, you know, somebody somewhere is going to say something that's going to make a difference for me. And so with practice, we have it all set up. And we, as Jen also was saying, it's not just in a conversation with people. It's the whole Sangha. So we have everybody's questioning and looking and insights and awarenesses, and we get to share all of that together. And amongst us, between us, we're bound to come up with something helpful for everybody, right? If we're paying attention, if we're looking to the intelligence animating us rather than to that conversation and conditioned mind. So it's a good deal.
Yes, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I just got some information that the class starts on February 8th, not February 9th.
February 8th.
So
just
wanted to be clear about that.
All right.
And the next item is that you, Sherry, and Ashwini will be at East West Bookshop in Seattle, Washington on February 5th to lead a workshop on the Big Bamboozle.
Mm-hmm. An excellent book, I'm told.
You're very modest. And related to that, a reminder that for the next 4 weeks, the Sangha is working with Bamboozle number 1, Distraction, from that new book, Big Bamboozle.
Mm-hmm. And we're in week 3? Is that true?
For the assignments? I think we're in week 2.
Oh, week 2. Oh, okay. I'm ahead of myself.
Yep.
All right, good.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, excellent.
And for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And 5 minutes is great, along with one topic.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a nice long list here, so let's get started, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. On the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Brad. I'm calling from Maryland.
Hi.
Hi, Brad.
How you doing?
What's going on, Brad?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about a decision that I'm making with my wife, and I'm aware that it's the process of what is going on, but it is such a big decision. And there is such heavy conditioning over what should be a right answer. And my wife and I have one child, and we were considering having another. But with the way things are, we enjoy life the way that it is now. And we were considering not having another child. Mm-hmm. And in that process, what I'm noticing is that conditioning will tell me, well, that's not the right answer. It needs to be two children. You know, it needs to be this particular way. And whenever I hear it needs to be this particular way, I always know that that's a telltale sign for suffering.
Right. Yeah. Which is good, so, isn't it? That's so helpful to know that, because an awful lot of people don't. Right? In fact, for an awful lot of people, that is the guiding force in their life. When that voice says, it needs to be that way. You need to this. It should be, you can't, you have to. They think God is talking to them. So to realize that, oh, why, only egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate talks in that way. This is good.
Yeah.
It's very helpful.
And then with all of the practice that I've done in the past 2.5-3 years since I've really been at it, is that there's no real answer that I could know any other way than how life unfolds by itself.
Yes.
There is nothing. In other words, I can't say that it would be different than how it is at any time in my life. Therefore, with whatever decision I make, that's simply the way that life goes, and that's it. But there's no second guessing. There's no reason for regret or any other thing, I guess.
That's right.
You know, at least that's what I've tried to explain with my wife. So.
That's right. And I'm in agreement with you. So mm-hmm. That's two of us, okay? And when we take a little step back, we can see that that is obviously the case. That if a person is willing to feel bad, feel guilty, have regrets, lament what happened, believe in mistakes, then life is full of those opportunities.
Oh my
because
God.
anything we do, right? Anything we do, those right. voices can frame it as a mistake, something you shouldn't have
right.
done. If you had done that other thing, then you would be having this other life experience. Now, is there any truth to that? No, there's no truth to it whatsoever. But the person who listens to that and believes it will be made miserable. The person, on the other hand, who says, you know, whatever happens in life is my very best opportunity to choose unconditional love, joy, freedom, bliss. Whatever it is, everything that happens is our best opportunity to choose the life we choose. Right? That person is not going to be unhappy no matter what happens.
Yeah, and that's I think, why I love Zen so much, is that perspective. I mean, how can you not have admiration for such a brave and wonderful approach to just say, with whatever comes of life, I will be with it. And I will realize
right.
I'm not separate from it. I am adequate to what is, and
that's
things
right.
are okay.
And it's a gift for me. This whole thing is a gift for me. Whatever happens. So I don't like this particular gift. Well, that's okay. I get to see why I don't like this. What am I holding on to that's preventing me from being grateful for this? So then
right.
something happens, and it's really, really painful and difficult, and I grow and I change, and I'm more clear and kind and compassionate as a result, and I can say, yeah, well, it certainly was not my choice, and I'm grateful for everything that has come from it.
Yeah, it's all about perspective. You know?
It's all about perspective, period. Period, yes. There
yeah.
are no right answers, not on the content level, right? That we could say that, well, there are some, on a process level, there are some, you know, in quotes, right answers. There are approaches
well,
that,
are more
kinder, more compassionate.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Well, you know, it just seems that this was one that was bothering me enough. I just wanted to get some words of wisdom from you. on this because it's like I know what needs to be done in terms of how I need to practice and what I need to say to myself. But on this one thing, it seemed like it was such a big issue. I'm daring to look outside of myself for advice, you know?
Yeah, well, it just to make that, turn that around, when we seek another perspective, when we give life a chance to talk to us through another voice, we're actually seeking inside ourselves rather than outside of ourselves. Egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, is actually outside of us. Right? The wisdom and clarity of practice is actually within us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So one other fun thing before I let you go, Brad.
Sure.
I don't know if you've heard me talk about this, and this is where a lot of people go, oh, no. If that's then, I'm not going there. You could flip a coin. You could flip a coin to decide which of you flips the coin, you or your wife, and then you flip a coin, and you decide ahead of time. You know, heads is we have another child. Tails is we don't. And you flip the coin.
I have to tell you, on other content, I've already discussed doing that with my Zen coach because it's like you might as well flip a damn coin, you know?
That's
because
right.
The only
That's exactly right.
It's the process of suffering that's causing the issue. It's not what comes of it either way.
That's
so
exactly
I guess
right.
In saying that, you know, it was that my wife and I have made a decision that, you know, it sounds like we're not going to. And I just say to myself, well, God, I just want to be okay with that. And it's just conditioning's pulling out all the stops on me. So
that's right. And you have to, that has to be your commitment to yourself. That you will be okay with this no matter what. Because throughout your life, karmic conditioning will attempt to use this decision against you. Now,
and you
the
know
other
what?
Side of that is, if you had another child, it would do the same thing.
That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
No win.
No win with it. No. The only way that we can win is to adopt the quintessential Zen approach of, whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, the more I sit, the more I realize I know absolutely nothing.
Absolutely. That's a good thing to know.
And to think that I know something is nothing more than ego, you know?
Yes.
I mean,
only ego. Only ego would say that. Yep.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We don't know, right? We know that we don't know, and we know that nobody knows, because the next split second has never happened, and the entire universe is different. So how in the world could we think that such a thing as knowing was even remotely possible? We have to be practicing such ignoring in order to think that knowing is possible, that it just boggles the mind.
Yeah, and you know, I've had a great comfort listening to you and Alan Watts and all these other spiritual teachers, and I get the realization that if you were to know, wouldn't life be incredibly boring? If it was all mapped out, what would be the point?
It would be awful. It would be hell. It would be hell.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of why when you realize, when Alan Watts and all these other figures talk about, well, if you had everything you wanted, eventually you'd see that that really wasn't what you wanted in the first place. So
that's right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
It's fun to know,
well,
isn't it?
Thank you.
Fun to know we don't know and can't know and that there's nobody to know.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm okay with it. Or you know what? There's no I to be okay with it, you know?
That's right. Exactly. All right. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you so much
Good
for
night.
Lending an ear. You got it. Take care.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. Well, that was a fabulous conversation to start us off, Jen.
All you can do, all you can do is just love it. You know, it's just so funny.
And it was such a pure focus on process. I just love that. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, what Brad is pointing out, of course, is what everybody stumbles over. First, we believe that it's possible to know something, to make the right choice, to go in the right direction, right? Yeah. As soon as we buy into that, oh, my gosh, we are just toast, right? Because it's just going to rake us over it time and time and time and time and time and time again. And when we get it that nobody knows, anything, then we can just relax and enjoy it and be grateful and receive the teachings, the benefits for ourselves. So relaxing. Yeah.
Very relaxing.
And joyful. It's joyful, right? Instead of angst and stress and misery, worry and feeling bad, all because I should know, I should be in control, I should be able to, I should figure this out, I should never,
Yes. Fabulous. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, can you hear me, Sherry?
Yes. Who is this?
Okay, this is Megan. Megan from I moved to Michigan.
Yes,
from the
Megan.
Area.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have my earbuds in, so because I was trying to be quiet as my kids are sleeping.
Yeah.
<So, laughs> you know how that is.
Yes,
so
I do.
I want to say. First of all, I am so excited about the way this year is being laid out and the email class that's coming up and the focus on Anjali and offering and emptying the teacup and then the big bamboo, like all of this coming together in this particular way. It's always amazing, but this is like another, it's so exciting. So thank you.
Yes, and I don't know if we've talked about this, but every year, you know, we finish a year and I think, okay, well,
yeah,
that's it. I mean, we've covered it. And then this whole other thing opens up, and it just feels miraculous, doesn't it? And then we get to practice with, I mean, let's face it, we're practicing with the same thing, but we're looking from different angles and with different language and, it's always new and fun and exciting and challenging and.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it is, and that was actually what I was wanting. I was calling, you know, I got myself in the queue because I thought, okay, I'd really like to check in with you because I was noticing with the different with that. So the first. Well, I started the book a little bit earlier, but then when I found out we were all doing it together, I stopped.
Good for you.
So I'm starting, you know, we're starting it again. And I'm getting to see how distraction is, you know, again, like you were saying, you know, getting to, you know, you think we've done it, but there's just more and more levels. And getting to see how distraction is, you know, playing a really interesting part in a way that I hadn't seen before. And I thought maybe, well, I was noticing I was having a conversation or somebody was having a conversation with you in my head. And so I thought,
and what were we saying?
I was telling you about this and you were saying, I was, you know, going through the scenario, with the insight that I was dropped in. And it was that as I was running from my run to get to my virtual sitting group, I saw conditioning saying, "You need to hurry," and then it was distracting me with, "You got to do this now because then you have to be with your kids, and they're the distraction. You got to get this in."
Uh-huh.
And getting to see how that's not true. And how actually when I'm with them, that's that one task at a time, or maybe several, but they're so present that it doesn't, you know, they don't take away from that. And I had, in my head, I was asking you, what would you suggest in terms of recording listening? You know, like more that I could do with it. And so you had said, you know, to just keep looking, just get those insights down, like to really, mm-hmm. take, you know, make sure that I'm kind of like the gratitude list, that I can have my mm-hmm. gratitude for the insights list that life keeps dropping mm-hmm. in. And so that's why I was like, well, I'd like to actually speak to, you know, live, since I have the opportunity right now, you know, anything else that you're, that you would, you know, suggest, because conditioning definitely comes in with more better ideas, and not wanting to practice restraint either. I'm noticing that's another distraction, and really having to rein that in.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, first of all, I love that. Megan, I just realized, well, I could do that too. Since I started recording and listening, I've always had a recorder. And, you know, they're great. They're great for in many ways. But now I use my phone. And so mm-hmm. I could do that, add on. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to start, because the way it is now, you know, I'll be recording along, and then I'll record whatever insight. And then, so right. I've got a couple of good insights on most recordings, but they're all spaced out somewhere. And so to just start one where every time there's an insight that I want to remember, then mm-hmm. I'll just add it to that recording so that mm-hmm. periodically I can just go through and never lose sight of any of those insights. That's very good. That's very helpful. Do you record and listen with the kids at all? How old are your kids?
You know, well, I have an 18-month-old, and that's the other thing, conditioning, egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate has definitely been all over this, like saying you're not doing enough with, like, like you don't get
you're not doing enough with?
With practice, like it's definitely going, you know, there's some really great opportunities I'd love to take a part in right now, and I am not able to, and so it's, you know, coming at me about that, practice opportunities. So I'm trying to do as much as I can, but it'll come in and say, you know, you really should be doing this in front of, with the kids. My 18-month-old really likes the cord, like the ear, like my earbud, so I can't do that.
Yeah.
Right? And then he's starting to use his words. He'll be like, phone, and he puts the phone up because, like, up to his ear, so he's talking a lot as I'm trying to record the insight, which is a little difficult sometimes, you know? So, but my 4-year-old, I have started doing that with her. She actually even starts, she's doing meditation, too, with me.
Wow.
She just likes to she's like, she'll be like, Mom, can I come up and meditate with you for a few minutes? So I have started with her, not a lot. I mean, I don't, because I don't want to push her too much. Like, I want her to enjoy it. But, yeah, with 18-month-old, it's a little rough to do with him yet.
Well, with the 4-year-old, of course, what a great opportunity to just have recorded conversations. You know, to talk with her about what she's seeing, what she's, you know, what she, because she'll tell you what's going on, what she's noticing and what she's realizing and putting together and that sort of thing. Yep. That's just beautiful, because then when she's, you know, 24, 34, whatever it is, 44, those will be available to her. And what a gift. And then with the little guy, you know, to, I would want to, just me, but I would want to do recordings with him of whatever process he's doing. So if it's talking on the phone, you know, pretending to talk on the phone or wearing earbuds or mm-hmm. whatever it is, but just to be talking about what's going on as he's doing whatever it is that he's doing. In other words, to make those part of your recordings, not recordings need to be something other than this, because I can only guess, since you really like these people, right? Then if you're if you're in traffic or somewhere and you happen to click onto one of those recordings, it would just take you to a place of delight to hear the voice and be able to picture, you know, what he's doing or with her, you know, what she's doing in the conversations and that sort of thing. And the point, of course, with recording and listening, yes, we do want to capture those insights because they keep reminding us of the clarity that we have. But also, we just want the things that take us to a place of this here now and joy. And listening to those recordings of those people, I project would do that for you.
Yes, it would be another way of not allowing conditioning to try and say this isn't part of your practice when it is. That all every single moment of the day is practice. Like everything I'm doing,
that's right,
is part of practice.
Yes, everything, everything.
Yeah.
And with your children, for them to grow up seeing that.
Yep.
It's not.
Yep.
It's not like you know, we have our lives and then we go in the other room and we practice.
Right.
But what we're doing is paying attention all the time. We're practicing living in awareness. And one of the things that I so wish for parents and kids is that instead of, and I know you're there, so I'm just going to say this for everybody else, okay, that instead of what most parents do, which is impart wisdom to their children, so we kind of talk at them and tell them what life is like, but instead to process with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're driving down the road and they're in the car and something happens and you say, you know, I just watch myself have this big reaction when people in other cars do things that I don't like. And, you know, I realize it's silly and that it doesn't really help anything, but it's such a habit, right? And they're taking that in. and they're learning how an adult practices being self-aware. So, of course,
I love
that's what's going to be normal.
Right. Yes. And if I can get those on recordings too, because even this tonight, my daughter got very upset. Like she was crying about something that she had read, and sometimes she just starts crying. She can really feel it. And I said, you know what? Today, that same thing happened. Just this feeling came over me, and I was sad, and I cried, and then it was gone. And she looked at me. Mm-hmm. I said, so sometimes that happens. Sometimes it can come in any different form. And we just sat there for a second. But to be able to have that recorded, and I think actually they would like to listen, because they hear me sometimes. I'll put on my recording, like we have choices. Everybody gets to have a choice of what they want to listen to, and I'll be like, Mommy's choice, and I'll put on myself. But if they hear themselves, with me or them by themselves, I think they'll be really excited about that. And they're getting more used to it, you know. But, what a great idea. I'm so grateful.
Thank you. Awareness practice for the entire family.
Yes. Yes.
And then it's just normal, right? It's just normal. You just talk about what's going on with you, and it's accepted. Mm-hmm. And, it's just you just get to be a whole person, and they get to see mom doing that. You know, it's not, well, I have to be strong for the children, or, I can't let the children see. Why? Why can't we? We want them to have their whole humanity, and if that's going to happen for them, then we've got to have it for ourselves.
Yep, and to be able to be with that. And, I'm so grateful for awareness practice and that, you know, it's becoming more and more aware of why it is I'm actually at home with them. I would have never thought that I would be doing that, but that's what's happening. I put out to life, I really want to have practice be everything, and here it is. So this is one more piece to it, and I'm so so grateful. And the last thing I wanted to do is I had said that when we were doing the high five challenge, one of the things is I really wanted to say gassho before each meal. And so my daughter, I told the kids what my commitments were, and so she was on it. I mean, she was so before you even sit down, she's like, Mikasha, Mom. You know, and she was really, 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 you know, leading the way. And then she would do, you know, and it was just this great, like, she knew how important it was to me. And it was just so it's that peace that's become, it's just normal. This is what we do and that we are grateful to, you know. And
And she can be a support.
Yes.
Right? She knows she can be a support. It's not, you know, so often kids are the identified patients, right? So
mm-hmm.
everything is focused on them and what they're doing wrong and how they should be different and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But to have it all, you know, we're all in this together, and these are the ways
mm-hmm.
that we can support one another. So empowering.
Yeah. It is, and that we're all adequate to it, and that we all have something to offer.
Yeah.
So
yes, exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. So thank you. And my finances are way up, but I really appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Good talking with you.
Michael. Yes, I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
You too. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Megan. Wow. That was an amazing conversation, Sherry. Wow.
Yeah. Kids, they're just such little bodhisattvas, aren't they? When we take advantage of them, you know, we have to take advantage of them. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I loved your idea of processing in front of them rather than pretending that Dad's not having a reaction, even though he sure looks like he is.
Right, even though the veins are standing out and his face is all red. And no, I'm fine, kids. I'm pounding a cucumber here. Right. Yeah, but in fact, to just be a person, be a human being, and model that, you know. So that when they get upset, when they whatever it is, get angry or get sad or whatever, they know. Yeah, this is normal human behavior because my folks do this. We do this at home. And then when they run into all that craziness in the world about this stuff, they have a better foundation for being there for themselves as they progress through life.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
exactly. Yeah, so helpful. Thank you, Sherry. And we're going to hear from our coaches program now, and then we'll be right back.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
This year's theme is training to live in this here now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. It's Jen in Rhinebeck.
Oh, hello.
Hi,
Jen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to call. Been looking at something in my stop, drop, and text practice, and just wanted to kind of like the first caller, just like get it out there and sort of look at it outside of my head, I suppose.
Yeah.
So it's around a particular piece of content, and what I've been seeing is how there are certain kinds of content that I have no problem making commitments around, and even maybe I didn't even make a conscious commitment around it. It's just sort of non-negotiable, You know, like I don't do that because that's not what I'm choosing to do with my life. You know, it's not healthy, or it just leads to suffering, or whatever the sort of reason is. There's just a kind of decision that's been made somewhere along the way. I'm not going to do that. And then there's just no conversation about it. But then there's this particular content that I don't seem to be able or willing to make that kind of commitment with. And I just have seen that a little more clearly in the last couple of days. And it's like, oh, that's really interesting. Like, there's, I guess I'm just seeing how that's sort of another way that conditioning sort of keeps it alive. You know, like, oh, no, no, we can't make that about this content because it's a really big piece of karma for you, so you can't just cut it off.
So, really? That seems like the best approach to really big karma. Are you comfortable being a little specific?
Oh, sure. I talked about it's just not eating sugar. It's that, the F word.
So because this is a big deal for you, we have to, what?
Well, but there'll be the arguments go that there are times in the past where I have said, I am never eating sugar again, and then that just sets up this really strong, you know, opportunity for conditioning to make me miserable. You know, as soon as something's forbidden, then it's all I want. So
it's all it wants.
It's all it wants, yes, thank you. Yeah, so it doesn't want me to make...
That's a huge...
So now it's just... Yeah, yes, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, it really is. And, this is such a big one. So, yes, that's what it does with people. So just for you to know, you're not the only one that this ever happened to.
Yes, okay? I'm sure.
So people are trained, just exactly as you've laid it out, people are trained not to make a commitment because it sets conditioning off, and they don't want to have to deal with that, so they just don't make a commitment. Oh, my gosh. It's just enormous, isn't it?
Yes. And
because
I think there's...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think there's... you know, there's long stretches where I don't eat sugar and I feel fine. And so then I'll feel like, oh, you know, I feel fine in the sense that the conversation isn't happening in my head. And then it'll start creeping back in, and then it'll, you know, then I'm off the wagon again for a little while. And it's like it started creeping back in because I've never actually made a clear commitment that, no, I just don't do that.
Right.
You know, whereas I have a clear commitment. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't text when I drive. You know, like I have these commitments to all these other things that are equally as dangerous for me, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, so just seeing that double standard, I guess.
Well, I was ranting about this to somebody earlier today, as a matter of fact. The name of that game, if we can really get the magnitude of this. Because what's at stake here is I'll be the voice of ego, okay? And what I'm saying to you is, no, I am in control of you.
Yeah.
Now, as long as you go along with what I tell you, you can have a good life. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not impossible. Okay.
Right. I'm not unreasonable.
I'm not unreasonable. I'm not a fanatic. But let's be clear. I am in control of your life.
Yeah.
I control you. And that's what this comes down to. Because if you said, nope, I'm not eating sugar, period.
Yeah.
It kills people. It's hideous. It has no redeeming features. And I'm not doing it. And that's the end of it. Then what you have just done is say to your slave master, "No, I'm a free person. I'm not doing what you say any longer." And boy, the battle begins because it's not about sugar,
right?
It's
exactly
who controls your life.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so it's okay. You cannot smoke. You cannot text when you drive. You cannot.
Right.
That's okay. Those are fine. Those are good things to do. But this, no, I'm in charge of this.
Yes.
Because this is where we get really clear between us who calls the shot.
Who's in charge.
It's not
yeah.
you.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what I've been seeing the last couple of days, that it's like, oh, man, it's got me in a corner, you know,
yes.
by feeling this, like, you know, yeah, I've spent more time not eating sugar in the last year than I have eating it. And so the freedom is right there in sight. You know, I can really feel it.
Mm-hmm.
My body's changed. Like, it's all,
mm-hmm.
like, it's all stuff I've known, and now it's, like, it's settling into the body in a new way, and it's still... It's like, still won't let me have it, you know?
That's right. Well,
because,
and it never
yeah.
will.
Mm-hmm.
It
yeah.
never will. That's
mm-hmm.
the important thing to get, right? It's
mm-hmm.
never going to say, okay, Jen, I get it.
You win.
You win. I'm going to let this one go. No. It is a fight to the death.
Yeah,
it's a fight to the death.
Yes.
Because
yes.
in as long as it's got you with this one piece of content, of course, it's got its foot in the door with all of these other kinds of places where you probably actually don't even know that it's running the show.
Yes.
So,
well, there's things associated with the sugar. And if I start eating too much sugar, I go to bed a lot later because I'm not tired or my stomach is upset, and then I end up watching TV. Like, there's a definite domino effect that I can see happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Ways, mm-hmm. once again, that it proves that it's in charge. It's
yeah,
making the decisions
yeah.
about your life. Yeah. And so we were just talking on the retreat this last weekend because there was somebody there who had quit drinking
mm-hmm.
and hadn't had a drink in a month or something like that, and was expressing a fear of saying anything.
Yeah.
For this very reason. It's like, if I just don't drink, we keep it on the low down, you know? And not saying, but if I say, I quit drinking, hey, everybody, I quit drinking alcohol, then karmic conditioning is just going to go nuts to get
mm-hmm.
me to take that next drink. And what
mm-hmm.
we talked about was that the commitment is, I'm not going to do that. Now, it doesn't matter. The point is not, and so you fell off your commitment, and therefore you might as well give up on it. Or
mm-hmm.
you lost, or you can't be trusted, or nope, it's not a contest. I'm just telling you that I'm going to quit doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
get ready to lose.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, you may win skirmishes, but I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It also feels... I don't know, simple might be the word, or it's just clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can just imagine, you know, putting a post-it everywhere in the house, like, you know, note to self, you don't eat sugar, you know, and that's just the way it is, you know, and then being able to just go back to that one thing rather than trying to remember how to combat every single angle that it could possibly come in on. There really is just one answer to all of it. I don't do it,
and I'm not
going to be in the conversation about it.
That's right. I don't drink alcohol. I don't text while I drive. I don't eat sugar.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
I could probably make a bigger list, too, of the things that I've sort of, you know, either explicitly or, you know, just naturally committed to.
Right.
I brush my teeth twice a day.
Yeah. That's right. Yes. I bathe regularly. All of these commitments that I've made and that I stick with. And, you know, I don't know if this would help you, but this kind of thing does help me. To become a real expert on what sugar does to the human body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What it does to the brain. What it does to the various organ systems in the body, you know, what diseases it's linked to. So not in a scary sort of a way, but just as a, and this is why I am not going to put this human being through this
mm-hmm.
just so karmic conditioning, staying in control of my life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good, that's an interesting part of it. It's sort of like, yeah, so why am I not committing?
Right.
You know, like, what is the point of not committing? There's no point. The only thing is that it just leaves it with the power. That's the only thing that happens.
And
I could get sick or whatever, you know, like it doesn't, doesn't support
that's
my
right.
health.
Mm-hmm. When somebody said to me, and I can never remember which way it goes, and I think I've actually heard it both ways, that when you eat sugar, your immune system takes a dive for, mm-hmm. I think one person said 20 minutes and another person said 24 hours.
Oh.
And I don't know which one it is. But mm-hmm. since that, I mean, that was just kind of the, you know, the last nail in the coffin. It's like, no, I don't want my body to be vulnerable in that way. Because I wanted to indulge something that I know is not good for me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So having that kind of conviction, it's sort of like, you know, we often talk about if you had a child, you know, you certainly wouldn't let the child eat things that are bad for her.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're making the same decisions for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to save her. And this is where all of this stuff that can sound very, I don't know what, psychological or whatever it is pure Buddhism. Because what you're going to do is move into a place of unconditional love and acceptance to protect her from that system that really is destructive to her.
Yes, and I really appreciate something you said recently, or maybe not recently. It could have been in an old archive or something, but I listened to it recently about how the mentor isn't always nice.
That's right.
You know, isn't always what we would call nice. You know, the mentor is also responsible for taking a hard line.
That's right. So if somebody has a mentor that says, oh, come on, it's one cookie.
Exactly, yes. It's okay. I forgive you. I forgive you. We'll start over in the morning.
Nobody's perfect. That's right.
Nobody's perfect.
Nope. That is not the mentor. Mentor is trying to say, now, wait a minute. Let's just sit down and breathe here and remember why we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That's a really important point.
Yeah, yeah. And that we've made a commitment.
Yeah, we've made a commitment. We don't do that. So let's not go unconscious here and do something we're going to regret. No, let's make a recording about all the reasons we don't do those things and what we choose instead. Let's get really clear about that. And then let's find the thing that would really nurture you, what would really take care of you.
I have tons of those recordings, and conditioning talks me out of listening to them every time I need them. So,
there's another good one to catch on to, huh?
Yes, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much. This has been really helpful.
You are so welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Take good care of yourself, as I know.
All right, okay, thanks. I'll talk to you soon. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air, and that was the third fabulous conversation tonight, Sherry. Just so helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are doing good work, huh?
Amazing.
Sangha, you just don't try to go through life without it.
Yeah, it's just so inspiring to listen to the successes and be inspired and remember that possibility in myself. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the tips and, yeah.
Yes.
That's good. Do you have another caller?
I think we have time for one more caller here.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Joy from Virginia.
Well, hello.
How are you?
What's going on with you, Joy, from Virginia?
Well, I am checking back in. So
good.
I called you 6 months ago in August, I found, after I went through all the archives to find out when it was I actually called you. And you gave me some wonderful advice. And 6 months later, I'm starting to follow it. So I just thought I'd call.
Perfect.
Let you know.
Perfect. Can I get any details?
Sure. So I was having some issues with pain. And your suggestion was to not be the person who is in the pain, but be the person who is taking care of the person who is in pain.
I remember that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so we had the conversation, and so just in the last few weeks I went, we had that conversation. So I listened to a lot of archives to find out actually where that conversation was.
Wow.
And then I went, wow, I really didn't remember all of that really good guidance that you gave me. So now that I have it, I've been applying it, and I am finding that it's quite helpful. And it's also much more difficult than I thought it would be.
Yes, it is.
Be a lot more difficult to be the person who is caring for the person in pain and not have conditioning creep in with, yes, being encouraging and you're doing a great job, but, you really could do this just a little bit better. So it's been very eye-opening just to hear some of the conversations. And since I'm just beginning, I'm sure it will be even more eye-opening as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to me, Joy, what's helpful about that for all of us is, so there you are in pain. I mean, it's pain. It's bad. It's difficult. It's, right? And then somebody says, well, instead of being that person, you could be the one who cares for that person, who brings compassion and understanding and loving kindness to this person who's experiencing pain. And here comes the voice of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate to try to sabotage it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now,
yep.
Again, because we're all practitioners here, so we know that voice in our head is not on our side. And yet people still live as if they believe it is. And then here's a situation like yours, and it's so crystal clear. Wow. I instead of encouraging me and helping me practice something that could be really helpful, it's trying to sabotage it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not our friend.
So, anyways, I just wanted to say thank you, and so I'm excited. I'm excited about actually applying the guidance finally, and all the opportunities this year too.
Well, and it's not a finally. We are where we are, and we do what we're ready to do when we're ready to do it. So that makes now the perfect time. You're in the perfect place. You have the attitude of mind and heart. And the support and all of those things. So it's all come together now. So it's just right.
Agreed.
Yeah, yes. Good. All right. Good to hear from you. Thank you,
yeah,
Joy.
You take care.
Okay, you too. Good night.
Night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining
us,
Joy.
Well, now, did you do well?
Amazingly well. Amazingly well.
I love it.
Yeah, very good.
Well,
thank you,
Sherry.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. And talk to you next week.
Yes, and look for those blogs from Africa, huh?
Look for those blogs from Africa. Jen and Sri Devi, they're going to be there soon. They've got through blizzards and colds and that awful stuff that and they're going to make it. So, we'll be excited to hear about their adventures. Thanks for that reminder, Michael.
Yes, sure. Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you soon. Good night.
Okay. Good night.